all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, early call time.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
How's everyone doing today, JJ?
I'm doing well. Andrew's not here. Good. So even better.
Yeah.
No, I like Andrew. You don't.
Yeah. It's well, you know, it's just like this podcast now is like less Jew hating without Andrew here.
Like 50%, but less Jew hating.
Yeah. You know, there's just less Nazi sympathizers like recording in this room, you know?
Right.
I mean, I don't know Steve very well, but I think I know him well enough to know that he doesn't side with the
Nazis.
With the Nazis, yeah. Right, Steve?
Yeah.
He's shaking his head no. Okay.
That's good.
So we have a very special guest today. His name is Steve Minella. He's an assistant editor/editor. I work with him over at where I work at, over at Digital Kitchen. Steve, say hi to the people.
Hey, everyone. How are you doing today?
We're doing great, Steve. How are you?
Thanks.
So how do you, what's the differentiation with assistant editor to editor? Like, is it the gigs, per se? Like, as far as, like, companies you work for?
Yeah, I mean, I try to do one for the man, so to speak, and then one for me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm still trying to cut my teeth, trying to get into a lot of places where I want to be.
Right.
So, you know, I'll take on, like, independent works as, like, editor and music videos, commercial stuff like that. And then, you know, whenever it's for, like, a facility or a, you know, production company and stuff like that, then I'll usually be hired as, like, an AE or, like, an additional stuff like that.
Makes sense.
Very good, very good. So Steve started working over at Digital Kitchen maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. So we're transitioning over from Final Cut 7 to Premiere Pro Creative Cloud.
Ooh.
And
it's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. Well, you know, some parts of it is exciting. Other parts are like, why hasn't Premiere figured this out yet?
Yeah.
Audio is a big fucking bitch in Premiere, at least so far.
Hmm.
Sharing projects with multiple editors is also a concern.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It has a tendency to
fuck up.
Yeah. Duplicate the media.
Yeah.
When you bring a sequence in, and it's kind of a pain in the ass. And then when you delete that media, it leaves potholes in your...
Right.
Yeah, so that's fun.
As you can tell, me and Steve have been troubleshooting some Final Cut to Premiere stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he got hired, is because he knows Premiere very well. And he's helping us with our migration a little bit. And he's proven to be very knowledgeable. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well with the duplication. And there's not—I don't know if there's a workaround necessarily.
The only workaround they say is, "Yeah, just wait till the next version. The next version will have all this fixed."
It never does. But that worked—that has happened for over a year. I know, because I was working on Beachbody a year ago, and it was still the same.
Yeah, because Beachbody that does all the P90X stuff, like they cut everything on Premiere now too, right?
For the most part, they still have Final Cut machines and Avid machines around, but.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you guys lay off to tape?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
They archive to tape, I believe.
Interesting.
Yeah. You should talk to some people over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
you could talk to Fit.
You're over there, right?
Well, not
talking
anymore.
Talking to you, bud.
Not anymore. I'm not an assistant over there.
I don't know
their workflow necessarily, but I've, you know, they're doing something very similar.
Have you ever used Premiere's their like version of Script Sync?
No, I haven't.
Have you heard that they have that component? Have you heard of anyone using it and liking it?
Mm-mm,
no,
not that I know of.
That's too bad.
Well, the thing with that, I when they first came out with it, I went to a seminar for it, and their whole idea is that eventually everything will have the metadata of like the audio, like a transcript.
Oh shit!
So whenever, like, let's say in 10 years, you want to make a documentary about John F. Kennedy, you can search John F. Kennedy in your library, and anytime his name is mentioned, you'll have that access to that clip.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
In theory, it's awesome.
In theory, yes.
Let's
theory.
See how it's executed.
Yeah.
But like for the listeners who don't know what Script Sync is, it's a very good Avid tool. JJ introduced it to me when he was working on Carrie Diaries and a little bit of Gossip Girl, but pretty much you'll have the, like you could input the script into the program, and then with each take you could kind of match up when they're saying that part in the script. So if you want to see the best take of them saying, excuse me, can you tell me how to get to 8th Street, you will have all the angles in which you could do it.
Yeah. Inside joke there.
Why'd you just laugh, JJ?
One day I had to do some temp ADR, and Nadav had
ADR?
basically, it's just for timing purposes. Mm-hmm. It's of, it's like a...
When you can't hear the actor, you just put
sometimes,
it in,
or it's an audio replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But I had you record an Asian man in New York,
mm-hmm.
and he had to say, what was the line again?
Hold on, let me get into character real quick. Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to 8th Street?
And our producers loved it.
That made the cut.
Yeah.
That's literally the highlight of my career, an EP on a real show.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, wow, that racist rendition of an Asian person was perfect. Can we get it in the show? But because there, you know, I think there was SAG or something got involved in.
Yep.
So you didn't get your SAG card?
And I didn't.
No deferred payment?
I didn't get Taff Hartley'd. No. Not for that one.
No.
But hey, we're not here to talk about my 15 minutes.
You took my words exactly.
We're here to talk about your career, Steve. Oh,
wow. Thank you so much.
So why don't you tell us, like, how did you get into the world of making movies? Like, what made you want to get into it? How did you get into it?
It was a backup plan, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And by backup plan, I really didn't have any plan. Mm-hmm. Graduated high school, decided I want to go to school for, you know, music theory. Study, like, guitar and, you know, varying things. But I thought long and hard that I'd probably end up being a teacher or probably dead broke.
Mm.
And then I went to a career that I'm still dead broke. So it's fantastic. but no, seriously, my father's a musician. My mom's a musician. And it just seemed like the...
And guitar makers too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad mixed instruments. So it's pretty...
That's cool.
Pretty cool growing up. A lot of woodworking we used to do.
Super cool.
But getting into film, there was a local university in the town I grew up, which was at the time expanding their department towards multimedia studies and just cinema overall, mm-hmm. like digital arts and stuff like that. So I got in when the program was just kind of starting out, and yeah, it was a fun 4 years.
What school did you go to?
The university was called Point Park.
Point Park.
Yeah, was that near Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's actually in downtown Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So once you got out of school, like how did you get your first job?
Well, I actually had a professor there. His name was Jeremy Braverman,
mm-hmm.
and he would send out internships or, like, you know, post PA, not just PA positions in general. And I got my first job. It was like a little commercial, and after that, I was a post PA on a feature, and I actually got bumped up to like a second assistant.
What feature?
It was called Amazing Racer.
Okay.
Yeah, it had like Daryl Hannah and a bunch of people.
Okay.
And then that was kind of neat. Yeah, the editor gave me my first gig on that, and then that summer. They brought me out to LA for like a month just to kind of like shadow around and check things out. So, I mean, the movie isn't, you know, doesn't really hold up, but the experience is something that I was like, you know what? I really like this thing. Like, I like the idea of making movies for a living. But so I came back after that, I finished my sophomore year of college. And then when I got into my junior year, Warrior, a Lionsgate movie, was shooting in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And I sent my resume in, and I got a office PA position, and the post facility was cutting like just right next door.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always try and like, if I could find like a call sheet or take their line scripts and just like snag them up before anyone else could, run over and just talk with them.
Oh, that's smart.
You're like, hey, I have some papers for you. Yeah. Hey, what's all this editing thing about?
Yeah, exactly. they started seeing me around a lot. And just talking, asking questions and stuff like that. So a position there came up where they needed someone to capture tapes, some mm-hmm. HD cam tapes into the Avid. And it was like an overnight position. They, you know, probably shouldn't have been given the job, you know, not qualified. So I was paid as a post PA. the AE there trained me on some things, and yeah, it's kind of how I worked for Warrior for a month overnight, and then
were they cutting on Avid?
Yeah, they're cutting on Avid.
Cool.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun, but yeah, then after that, kind of went back to school, decided to finish off, and then another Lionsgate film came the following summer, and I did that, and the editor and AE...
Were you, like, asked back, or did you find out about it and, like, hit up the right people, or, like, how did you get that follow-up on?
I reached out to the editor on Warrior, the name's Sean Albertson, he's really, really talented editor, and I mentioned, I was like, hey, I hear this other Lionsgate production's coming into town, like, do you know anything about it? And he kind of just, like, reached out for me. And
no, that's awesome.
Yeah, so then I got a call, like, looking for, like, a post-PA on Abduction, which was a Taylor Lautner classic. but, you know, we did that. And
that's cool.
Is he as dreamy? Did you see him in person?
Yeah, you know, he's a really nice guy. He was really – he would come by, and he was really polite.
Is he just handing out, like, copies of Twilight, like, to whoever, like,
no,
wants
no, no, no. He was a stand-up guy.
The book.
Yeah. Right. Autographed copies.
It was directed by John Singleton, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
So, John is...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, John's a fantastic guy, too. Wow. Yeah, super nice guy.
I'm sure Taylor Lautner's better. Or not, you know, whatever, yeah.
I really liked Four Brothers, and John Singleton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's done a lot of great movies, but that's cool. That's very cool.
So they brought me, it was August of 2010. I just graduated, and they're like, well, what are you doing here still, you know?
Right.
So, like, you want to come out and, like, finish the movie? So that movie ended up being for an additional, like, 9 months.
Sick.
So I just did that, and then that movie led to another movie, and that movie led to another movie, and then... I decided I didn't want to be a post PA anymore because, you know,
It's not really a career.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like the age that we're in for post is kind of interesting because you don't really have the apprentice positions anymore.
Right.
You kind of like, and
that's kind of what the post PA is now.
Yeah. But you know,
I wouldn't say that. I would say that assistant editors are more like apprentices in that point because I know in my experience, the editors I've worked with have kind of groomed me into editing, much like the apprentice position.
Right.
But there really isn't an apprentice position anymore, like, to get paid as an apprentice.
Right. Like, no one would really let a post PA, like, sit down with an
responsibility.
And be like, this is how... Well,
yeah.
Maybe.
There's a lot of responsibilities as an apprentice PA. You're almost as, like, an additional editor.
I've actually never been in a position where I've actually been groomed across, except by one editor and AE that I worked for, and I'm still friends with now. His name's Dwight Raymond, and you know, he would just like give some sound advice, you know, stuff like that. But
yeah,
it was always really tricky because, you know, anytime like a union rep would pop by, you better jump off that Avid real fast. Because,
sure.
So it was like you can do a little bit, like, and then going back to Sean.
Oh, would union reps drop by kind of like unannounced, like health inspectors, just to make sure
Sometimes they do pop by, yeah.
I had no idea that happened.
Especially if there's been, you know, somebody's like, oh, well, we're working 60 hours and we're not getting paid for it. Like,
exactly.
People come in and go, oh, well, what are you doing? What, you know, let me ask you a few questions about what's going on.
Oh, that is scary.
No, but it's good. I mean, they're there for
protect you. It's scary for the producers, probably.
Sure, yeah, because they don't want to get dinged with fines and XYZ.
But
also, it depends on the level of the project, you know. I had, like, a little Avid that I was working on one feature, and no one ever came by. So it was like, here's, you know, do some dailies, you know, set up some string outs and stuff like that. So just little things. So that was kind of cool, but, yeah.
That's cool. All right. So you're in Pittsburgh, or you were in Pittsburgh. Now you're in Los Angeles. When did that happen?
What's your deal?
What's your fucking deal, bud?
How did that happen, or when did that happen?
Both.
I came out in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so right after that movie.
Yeah, right after Abduction.
Okay.
I got abducted to L.A.
Okay.
So that was sweet.
Did you have friends out here? No.
I actually was the only person out here at the time.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What was that transition like?
I mean, I'm a hermit anyway, so it didn't really affect me too much. But no, seriously.
Well, not socially.
But thankfully, it was a long project that I think that because I was so busy, my time was occupied, that I didn't really have time to like freak out that I was in a city by myself.
Sure.
And I was thankful to like have editors I was working for that kind of like took me in a little bit, like, hey, do you want to come over for dinner? Do you want to go get lunch or something?
Oh, that's awesome.
So, they were, like, very understanding, like, this dude doesn't really know what the heck's going on right now. So I was kind of, like, you know, covered up a little bit in a way.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, like, how did you get your first gig in L.A. then?
Let's see.
And then, like, how long did it take you from when you moved to when you got your first gig in L.A.?
Well, the gig that I was working in Pittsburgh, they asked me if I wanted to come to L.A. and finish it with them. So that was the gig that I ended up working 9 months for.
Awesome.
And then when we finished that...
Oh, so you finished it in L.A.?
Yeah, we finished in L.A. So we finished that, and then I had like a month off, and then I got a gig on another feature, I think with some different editors. It was a while ago. I forget, but... so I did that for a while, and then that kind of went to another project, and then I did a season of House of Lies a few years back.
Like that show.
I worked for some really cool editors, really awesome supervisor as well. So we did that, and that was my last gig as a post PA. I decided that I was going to disappear for a month. do a Pacific Northwest backpacking hiking trip, and
very nice.
So it was just some time to clear my mind, see what I wanted to do, because I've been doing like the post PA thing for like, you know, 3+ years, and I was just like sick of it. So when I came back, I just only took like any higher up position I could find, regardless of what it was, and then slowly started doing some more things, and then it's all right now.
I want to take
a tangent.
Okay.
What did you do in Pacific? You said you backpacked. Where did you go?
Yeah, oh, JJ just went on a big old hiking trip.
Andrew too. And I hiked Whitney, Mount Whitney.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Well, I left L.A., went up to a couple, there's like this little ghost town. It's called Bodie. And then went from Bodie up to San Francisco, and then San Francisco all through Oregon and Washington. Went up to Canada a little bit, swung back down, did all the national parks. We tried, a friend of mine, her and I went then, and ended up staying in Yosemite for what was only planned to be like a 3-day.
Right.
That ended up being like a week and a half. So I highly recommend if anyone wants to check out this beautiful country, go to Yosemite.
Did you hike most of the PCT at that point then?
No.
Okay. It's a different area.
Yeah. But when we came
back...
That's
cool. Does the T in that stand for trails?
It does. Pacific Coast Trail.
I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
The Redwoods is just gorgeous as well.
I want to go up there.
There's this beach back there. I think it was called Gold Bluffs or Gold Seal or something of the sort. But anyway, you have to drive back a few miles to get there over some crazy terrain. Feels like you're in Jurassic Park. And then when you get to the beach, all these... cascading like hillsides basically, so like in the morning the fog just rolls over and covers the beach, and there's like there's a lot of like elk and
elk on the beach.
Cool. They would come down. I have a bunch of photos I'll show you sometime.
That is majestic.
But then the trip ended because when I got back down to San Francisco, my car got jacked.
Oh, no.
Like stolen?
No, it got gutted, basically. Everything was stolen out of it.
You kind of told me about this.
Oh. So trip got cut a week short. Had to come back to L.A. And, haven't done insurance. Anything. Talk to my insurance company.
Yeah.
They were happy with me.
And then after the trip, you came back, started working.
Yeah, I started doing little things. I had a friend at the time.
Like AE gigs or editor gigs? Or?
I cut like a pilot for like something that obviously never transpired.
Right.
But the pay was decent for it, and it kind of got me in with a little company to do a couple little things. Did a sizzle for them, and then, you know, that relationship ended, and I started doing some other things as well. And then along the line, I got in touch again with some friends from college that moved out here, and they started working on a script for a feature that they were doing. And that took a while to get up and running, but we just finished that about like, probably like about 6-7 months ago. So we cut that feature.
Well, congratulations on that feature. I actually, like within the first day or two of us working together, you were telling me like, oh yeah, you know, actually me and my buddies, we shot this feature for like a pretty low budget, and you know, I just wanted to you know, show it to you. So you, like, you emailed me the link and the password, and I was bracing myself
for crap, right?
Yeah, I was bracing because like the second I hear budget or super low budget or one of those words, I'm like, okay, I'm doing.
We've done those before.
We've definitely done those before. Yeah. Some of them got more praise than they should have, but you know what? That's neither here nor there. So keep it together, Judy. So when I watched it, I was like getting ready to see something like, all right, like watching it as a favor. And JJ knows this. I'm very picky with my movies. Like, mm-hmm. It takes very little for me to not like a movie. And your movie hit none of those benchmarks for me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the team did a really good job. They made it pretty easy to cut, thankfully.
Like, all the acting was believable. All the music was great. The sound design was good. Like, it looked like a real fucking movie. Like, it looked better than stuff that I've seen on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like, can you describe what it was like making that movie? Like, where'd you guys film it?
Well,
can you give us the plot line maybe real quick, or is that also a no-no?
Nah, I'll just leave that out all for right now. Yeah, because a lot of stuff's like going on with it, so okay. We're just seeing what's going on.
But yeah, it's good.
It's a thriller. It takes place in Du Bois, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. So it's this little tiny town, you know, population like 800-900 people, but probably didn't see more than 50 people the entire time we were there. So very small. Everyone was really polite. Really, really awesome area to make a movie in general.
How did you guys choose to film there?
Well, the director and the cinematographer/producer, they submitted a short they did in college to the Wyoming Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And they won $25,000 as the grand prize. But the stipulation for the win was you had to produce the project in the area. So, and you could pick anywhere you want in Wyoming. You just got to shoot it there.
Okay.
So that was kind of something we were thinking about doing. So, you know, they got 25 and, you know, obviously that's nowhere enough to make a feature. So the early idea was to potentially do something of a shorter content. And then they just kind of ran with it. They made that. Then they raised some more funds through some private investors, through some crowdfunding as well. And, you know, they raised a pretty decent budget for the movie that we made.
Yeah. How long did it take you guys to shoot that feature?
I think it took like 18 to 20 days. And, you know, we didn't really have any dark days at all. But, yeah, we got up there and, I mean, all the crew that was involved were, you know, former alum of the university, mm-hmm. or some current students. But what was really cool that the university provided for us was they gave us a grant for using the equipment. So, you know, your dolly, your sleds.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, your lighting, your rigging, stuff like that. So they gave us all this gear. So a large portion of the budget was used just to kind of like shuttle everybody out there. We had the grips drive a Penske truck across the country from Pittsburgh with all the gear in it. So, yeah, everyone was...
Road trip.
Yeah, but...
And you were out there, too?
Yeah.
Were you out there on set, like, as an editor or just, like, an extra hand, like, to help out? Or
I was on set as an editor, but I helped out wherever I could.
Drink any leftover beers,
exactly.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I helped the sound recordist do some audio on set. Mm-hmm. There's a couple chase scenes in the film that have, like, quite a few, you know, people involved. So it was nice to have... You know, mic here for, you know, run and gun filmmaking. It's good to have those options from camera to cut in if you need something. So, yeah, it was really cool.
What'd you guys shoot it on?
We shot on Arri Alexa.
Okay.
So, yeah.
4K?
No, 2K? Shot 2K.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you guys cut in Premiere, right?
Yeah, we gave Premiere a shot. I had never used Premiere at the time. But Avid was kind of out of the budget, mm-hmm. and we didn't want to do Final Cut because the whole 32-bit versus, like, you know 64, right?
69, yeah.
64-bit. So we felt like, you know, and I think Premiere was only, like, I mean, the platform I was using was only, like, a month old at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I took my computer to, like, this little hotel in Du Bois that had Wi-Fi, and I downloaded the most recent version out there. But yeah, I was actually up to the day of leaving. I was waiting by my front door, hoping my trash can Mac was going to show up. Otherwise, I was going to have them ship it to Jackson Hole, drive the 2.5 hours to Jackson Hole and pick it up at the local post office. Wow. Post office. So thankfully that lined up. But
yeah.
So what was it like cutting 2K natively in Premiere? Did it handle it like pretty easily, or were there like some kinks along the way?
No, it handled it very well, but I think that goes less towards the program and more towards the computer that I had built.
Mm-hmm.
I think that because it has the high, graphics card along with the CPU and the memory, that it just made it easier to handle it. But yeah, there was never any issues. Everything was very snappy, very responsive. And it worked great.
Sweet. So now that like the film is like all like cut and finalized and locked and, you know, looks good, like, what's the next, like, plan for it? Like, what are you guys going to do with it, with this finished movie now?
Well, I know that they're going to do the film festival route.
Mm-hmm.
But they're working on getting a couple sales reps involved in the project. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while I'm not really involved in that process, I keep on hearing that things are going very well. So
just trying to get distribution, that kind of thing?
Yeah. And I see.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm not really too involved with it, but I think that they're trying to go towards like a Netflix deal or you know, some kind of VOD thing, because
sweet.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, man. That's
thank
well,
you.
Well, it's always nice to hear that some independent project that actually is doing well. You know, like Nadav said, we've all worked on stuff that, you know, doesn't really go anywhere, but you know, you have high hopes for it.
Yeah.
And the project was always really fun because the director and then the cinematographer / producer, they moved in right next door to me. We knew each other from Pittsburgh, but I had this townhouse in Mid-City at the time, and a unit in the back opened up. So I was like, I know you guys are moving out here. There's this spot right here. You don't got to look for anything. So it actually worked out. They moved at the end of the row. I was at the front house. So after I would get back from work, I would just go over and we would just talk about stuff. And there was actually a different movie plan before we shot Cardinal, but that was just way too much for budget. And I know they really want to make it still, but point being, we would just talk about the idea of making a movie. And most things, I mean, everything always starts out as like some sort of like, you know, dream. Like it seemed like way out of our reach at first. Right. And then we started like chunking things away, and I would stop by and see how things were going. And they were just like grinding away at ideas. And I mean, the writer, like, would just work in his free time and just churn out draft after draft. So it was, you know, no one went in with the idea of, like, hey, let's make money. It was just like, hey, let's go ahead and make this fun project. And
hopefully it turns out well.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Turned out better than expected, for sure.
So that is an example of how you became an editor, as far as that goes. And then you work for the man, as you say, as an assistant.
Yeah. You work for the man to fund your passion projects.
That's always been the plan. Yeah. And it's only now kind of starting to work out.
No, that's good. I mean, I feel like I know that was my goal as well. And you just work hard at it and continue doing what you want to do, and it'll eventually happen.
Yeah, hopefully you can save enough money to blow it all on something that probably won't see the light of day. But you know what? Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't regret that decision.
It's either that or Coke. So, I mean, whatever.
Jokes
aside. But
yeah, Coke is...
it's a hell of a drug, man.
It is a hell of a drug. I hear. A friend told me.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I kind of want to get into some of the horror stories that I know you and I share a similar one.
Are you down for that? Are you down to talk about horror stories?
Are you talking about that recent email that we both got?
Yep. Hold on for the music cue.
Hold on.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
The f*** are you doing?
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, so this is a segment called Horror Stories, and either it's things that you've witnessed, things that you're a part of just things going wrong. Either you could have been a part of it, or you could have not been a part of it. You know, just really, all that really matters is that, you know, you're not implicating yourself to being a horrible piece of shit that, you know, fucks things up, right?
For sure.
So with that being said, Steve, you and I recently got an email from the same person. I think I was the first one to get the email, and they asked for less things than they asked you. So I'll start with my perspective, and then we'll kick it over to you.
Sounds good.
Is it that email? Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
I used to AE on some movies, and I got an email recently from, like, someone that I indirectly work with that worked on that movie, too, but I never really interacted with that person. So I get an email from them saying, like, hey, I left this company, and now I'm making my own features, and we're wondering if you know anyone or if you'd be interested in someone who would want to DIT and edit a feature that we're doing. And DIT is like a media manager on set. Like, they back up all the stuff that's shot on cards. Like, they just make sure that nothing's lost and make sure that everything looks the way it's supposed to.
Do some color.
Yeah, work. Possibly even do some color. Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, do a first pass transcode, maybe even sync. Yeah. Like a DIT is legit as all hell.
Yeah.
People, I'm getting all hyped about it now, but like, people like don't understand how valuable a good DIT is. Like,
yeah, in the day.
They can save an entire post.
They used to think. I used to think that it was just like a media manager. Like, oh, yeah, man, just drag and drop and make sure nothing's deleted. But then I remember we had Patrick Lawler on the podcast a while ago, and he was doing like Audi commercials in the desert. And I was like, hey, Pat, you know, if you need someone to DIT, let me know. I'm down to go out to the desert and, you know, hang out with you all day. He's like, oh, okay. Have you ever like worked with, you know, the Epic? Like, do you know how to calibrate the camera? Do you know how to do? I was like, well, this is way more than dragging and dropping. I don't.
DIT is a part of the camera department, so you have to.
Yeah, which blew my mind.
Yeah,
like I remember I showed up like on a set where I was like the media manager and not like technically the DIT, and they came up to me and they're like, "Hey, man, can you come up and like calibrate the red for us real quick?" And I was like, "No." I can't.
I cannot do that.
Like, oh, do you not have your gear with you? No, that's not the reason. But I don't.
Yeah, I had no idea what a DIT was until I did a season of House of Lies. And then I realized that the DIT is, you know, the connecting fabric from
production to post-production.
Yeah, exactly. And holy smokes, man, that dude was a machine. Like, developing looks with the director. And then, you know, when things went wrong, as they always do, he was the one that actually kind of, like, you know, fixed everything up. So,
yeah.
A little cleanup.
Yeah, when you see a good DIT work, we're good. Okay. When you see a good DIT work, like, it's like, oh, shit, there's way more stuff that you do than I thought.
Yeah.
So that's what a DIT does, and to want to merge...
Back to the horror story.
Yeah. To want to merge a DIT with an editor is just... Oh, yeah. And in the email, it was like, from our experience, it's best to have the DIT be the same person as the editor, because then you know what you need. And it was the dumbest fucking thing I had ever read, because, like, I feel like it's so important for an editor not to get burned out, like, on the footage before they actually start cutting it. And
that's a luxury, though, but that's the idea.
Yeah. Like, ideally, that would be how you try and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And DIT is just the person that's just fucking watching this shit. I've just never heard anyone want to do that combo before. Like, I've working on sets, I've offered and gotten hired before as a DIT / assistant editor, because that actually makes sense. But it just I'd never heard anyone wanting a DIT to edit also. And then, like, when I got the email, I was like, hey, Steve, you want to hear something funny? Listen to this email I just got. And then literally the next day, Steve is like, hey, Nadav, you want to hear something funny? I just listen to this email I just got from the same person, but look at all this other extra shit that they added on. Steve, take it away.
Wow, and your list was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have?
No. That is the list.
Oh,
of Steve.
Okay.
The list I got was just DIT and editing.
Oh, okay.
Combo.
Do you have the said email accessible with you? Because I have it on my phone. If you let me go grab it, I can grab it real quick. Just because I need to be able to, while paraphrasing, read the I can't even put into words right now how insane their expectations. They were just ridiculous. So
Steve, just stall him a little bit.
Oh my god.
Well, what do you remember any of the things offhand?
Oh yeah,
I got it.
All right, so let me. This is the one I sent you, right?
Yeah. Now, remember, refrain from using any names, locations.
This is a horror story.
This is a horror story.
We don't want to implicate anyone.
We can't implicate.
Absolutely.
Although I don't mind burning bridges with this person, it's best not to.
Yeah. Okay.
So we got this email, and one of my former bosses recommended me for the position. So I assumed that, like, yeah, you know, it's a little independent project, but I've worked for this guy before, and I've always had a great time. Like, it might just be something that he's busy. It's a little bit under his, you know, his pay scale. So he's like, hey, Steve just finished a movie. Mm-hmm. Give him another one. Throw him another bone. So I was really excited for it for about a day. And then I heard back, and it just blew my mind that someone could actually do this to another human being.
Yeah. Yeah, how did these people sleep?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't get it.
So it opens up with just kind of like addressing, you know, hi, yada, yada, yada. And then it's like, so we're doing this tiny budget, dot, 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 ultra low budget.
Yeah.
And then it just gets so much worse from there. They start listing.
It's like, it's really good foreshadowing. Like, they're great storytellers because, like, you could already tell the foreshadowing. It's like, oh, I'm going to get fucked at the end of this. Yeah. I got it.
And usually you save this moment for, like, the end of the email. But right off the bat, they're like, if you're not interested, please let us know if there's anyone who might be.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know what? Should I even read the rest of it? Because I know it's going to be crazy. So,
it's,
you know.
It's so fucking nuts.
They start off with the same thing Nadav got for his email, like looking for an onset DIT. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, this is going to be interesting.
It's like, fine, DIT, yeah. I could do that.
And then it starts getting so they're also looking for the first assembly of the edit while on set. So they're doing an ultra low budget. When we shot Cardinal Matter, it was a luxury only dealing with one single camera format. So you didn't have to worry about transcoding too much. We did pickups with Red, but that was the way it aligned. So it made it easy, very streamlined. Mm-hmm. So we had like a great AE DIT that handled that. But so back to the story, like, so they want like an assembly edit, a DIT, probably transcoding and dealing with all kinds of issues.
Which is
on
a full-time job.
Oh, in its own, right. Yeah. Right. Oh, all of these are full-time jobs. So they're looking for...
That each require, yeah, like, their own computer.
Exactly.
Like a DIT, like, you can't be doing other
can't
shit while
you can't sync and cut same. That's going to bog every... So, yeah. So they're looking for up to 2 to 3 sets of full note revisions, and then, you know, that's going to multiply across by 2, of course, I'm assuming. They're also looking for someone to do, like, an open title sequence. And my favorite is, like...
What's in the parentheses? Read what's in the parentheses.
Extent TBD by you and me. Something cool, but not something too overwhelming.
Ugh.
And then, like, it gets... Ugh. Yeah, it just gets worse.
Put that
so that's
email.
Three
that's
jobs.
Yeah. Let me steamroll this just to, because okay, it right. sounds better when you run with it.
Okay.
Yes.
End credits, Foley and effects, ADR, CGI, simple if needed for correction.
Foley.
Color correction, clearance of any music you might provide. Yeah, because I'm, let me go bust out my, you know, my suite. And then they're also looking for all delivery requirements as needed, QC conforming, formatting for delivery. Oh, also, why don't you cut a 3060 and 120 track, trailer, music and separate music and effects versions provided to producers. Oh, so here's the best part. I think they're expecting you to buy your own hard drives. And... in the obvious,
and then
like,
give it to production when you're done with everything.
So, metadata, edit files, source files, basically everything needed at the end of it. Okay, so that part is, you know, mm-hmm, a lot of this is standard for an editor, but all these crazy jobs are just CGI. Like, let me just go ahead and bust out my Nuke system and just.
I counted 9 jobs.
They're like CGI. Nothing too crazy though. Really simple. Yeah. It should be simple. It shouldn't take you that long.
Foley. Let me get my stage. You know,
fucking like, Foley. Jesus Christ. Do they? I don't think they know what that word means. Because if they did, that's so fucking ridiculous.
And then the icing on the cake is the last sentence, which is I'm going.
The rate?
I'm going. Well, yes.
No, we haven't
gotten to that yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I will frame this and I will put it on my wall. I am sure I'm leaving some things out.
Oh, God.
And then they provided the rate of. Can we guess how much the rate is for?
I'm going to. Is it for the whole thing?
Whole thing, which will probably
It's a flat fee. There's no...
Because it sounds like a piece of shit, $3,000.
Ooh, it's actually $5,000.
Wow.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
For 9 jobs, that's good. That's a good rate for 9 jobs,
It's
right?
going to be like 18 months of your life, and you're going to be paid fucking $5,000.
I've already done that.
We're not down to do that again.
I'm not doing that again.
Well, because it's like, okay, let's go down that list again, at least parts of it.
Yeah.
They want you to do your own Foley work and sound editing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they want you to fucking get, like, you know, the meat pounds, the meat on meat in the fighting sequence. They want you to do footsteps for the entire fucking movie, which I realize is a big thing for Foley.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten into, like, dialogue sweetening yet. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, geez.
Oh, yeah, and ADR.
ADR.
They want an ADR, so you need to sit in, a soundproof studio with talent and just fucking figure, like
title sequence, which is its own art, you know?
Like, yep. I'm getting so mad thinking about it. Oh, and supply your own music that you create, too, also. And any that you don't, get the licenses for it. That's on you.
Sure.
It comes out
of your... They're lucky I play guitar, because I could do that.
Comes out of your rate.
But, you know, for the rest of the day, I wasn't mad. I would, every hour or so, I would open my phone back up.
I would reread it and
just chuckle.
Just find someone, around you who hasn't heard about this. It's like, hey. Like, I went up to my boss at Digital Kitchen, and I was like, hey, man.
You want
to
laugh a little bit?
It's like, no. I phrased it like, hey, so there's this project that's going around. I think we should bid on it. And I just gave him my phone and I let him read it. And he's just like, what? He's like, okay. Like, we have, like, facilities to, like, do most of this stuff. And then he saw, like, $5,000 for... He's like, no, man, just fucking throw this in the fire. Like, we do not need this.
There's a fine line between doing someone a favor and respecting them.
Yeah, and then that sexually is, molesting them in their butt.
That is completely disrespectful.
I had my writer friend, because I went to a party after the end of that week into the weekend, so as a little... like, fun, you know, thing to do, I kind of read the email out to everyone.
Uh-huh.
And one of my writer buddies was like, yeah, I just think that maybe you should just write back to them and just, like, let them know this is not okay. I'm just like, I'm just not going to respond. Like, that's the best way to, like, let someone know. Like, but here's the thing. They will find someone to do it. It'll be someone fresh out of school, or maybe a local community college has, like, you know, a janitor that's interested in cutting his first project.
But. Yeah, they won't find someone who could do all those things. They'll find someone who could say yes.
Yeah. All we can tell people to learn from this thing is don't sell yourself short.
Because
if you want to do something, you can find better projects than something like this.
Yeah. If they want a year plus of your life, then you should be getting a year plus salary for it.
But the thing for me was, it wasn't about the money. Obviously, to an extent, it's about the money.
The money
you
got to live. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You got to pay your bills.
But what really hurt was the fact that every job that was listed is a craft that takes years and years and years to develop a skill set for.
Yeah.
And they're just thinking that, just from that email, you know that even if you did take it, even if it was like, we'll give you $100,000 to do this job, you better still turn that down, because there is not going to be any win from the start with this. You're going to hate every single second of your entire life for the next year.
Yeah, it's going to be like pizza for lunch every day.
Yeah.
It's going to, right?
Pizza for lunch, you're going to go buy your own. No, it's ramen for a year.
It's going to be pizza for lunch on Monday, and then, like, some way to recycle the pizza on Tuesday, like a pizza salad.
Oh, interesting.
And pizza casserole.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's Wednesday.
Okay.
and then Thursday, you get fresh pizza again. But then Friday, like the weekend, that's when the producers eat the free pizza. Right. And then Monday, free pizza cycle again.
Well, you know, this is interesting. This is the first time that this kind of email or this kind of horror story has actually come up in the horror story segment, because it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It happens a lot online.
Yeah. I get emails like that. Dude, my favorite is, so there's some Facebook groups like I need an assistant editor, or I need an editor, or I need a production assistant. Mm-hmm. And they list postings just like the email we just read.
Mm-hmm.
And
people are serious.
People fucking rip into those posts.
Yeah.
They're
like,
who the fuck do you think you are? I think what you meant, like, I need an assistant editor, or I needed a post-production assistant. They'd say, all right, I need someone who could do string outs, someone who could do food runs, someone who could prep for mix, someone who could prep for color. It's like, do you know what a post PA is?
Yeah.
Like, you can't pay this person $100 a day and expect them to do all the things you just listed off.
Yeah.
And then there's just 20 comments saying that exact same thing in different words, but like some meaner, some nicer.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's great. Like, there was, I remember there was one my favorite sticks out in my mind. This guy posted up like a rap music video. And he's like, hey guys, this is my nephew, you know, Big Charles or something. And
Big Chuck.
And you should look out for him, you know, like hit him up if you're looking for stuff. And people are just like, is this a job posting? Like, what are you doing? And he's like, I just gave you all the information you needed. I posted this amazing rap music video. It wasn't. And I gave you the person's name. It's up to you to find them and make something work for yourself. This is,
wow.
You know, things aren't just going to be handed to you on a silver platter. And like, people are just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You gotta be on your grind, man. You gotta be young and on your grind.
Dude, the craziest part is like, bro, this is a private group. How did you even get accepted? Like, how'd you get the privileges to even like post onto here?
Well, like you said, people will rip. Like if you do anything but post for a job on one of those I need sites, they're like, excuse me, what are you doing? Like, they'll just rip you a new one for sure.
It's my favorite. I love watching people's days get ruined.
Because
if that happened to me, I would lose sleep.
I saw this one post on, it was like, I need an editor. Mm-hmm. And it was the exception. Like, someone was posting like, hey, we're doing this feature in San Diego, blah, blah, blah. And they posted a really good rate for an editor. And all of the posts weren't really like resume sent here, PM'd you, blah, blah, blah. It was just like, we really want to just thank you for like posting something like this it's very nice and warming to see someone actually respect the post-production process and pay for a position of what is deserved. And I was like, oh my God. And like, that's a beacon for like how they'll just try and run you into the ground if they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Very true.
My best is when like the original poster tries to defend themselves and they're like, look guys, if you don't like the post, just don't apply to it. And it's like, no,
you can't,
bro,
ignore it.
You're not getting off that light, buddy. No. Like, you can't come into the lines and expect not to get bit.
It boils down to respect. Those people do not respect you. If they did, they would look for a rate that is acceptable.
Yeah.
You know,
like I used to AE, like when I first started working out, I worked on these as an AE for these like really bad movies, and their day rate was like $110 like a day,
which isn't even,
it's not even a like a PA rate.
Well, it, no, well yeah, that yeah. And if you wanted to go into the union, into the guild, $125 a day is a minimum you have to get paid as an assistant to even have those days count towards your union.
Yeah. So they were like I remember like getting the rate and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just starting off. I'm not going to complain. But the next movie, I was like, hey, do you think I could get bumped up to like $150 a day? And they're like, look, man, no. Like, you know, everyone knows this is like a starter type of job. If you want, like, we'll bump you up another $2.50 a day or something. So I was like still under $115 a day.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just a constant fighting, and, like, after doing it for, I don't know, maybe 6 or 9 months, it was in a position where, like, I started getting more side jobs, and I was able to start saying no to this job.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this woman who, she was so nice.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, should I go into the story?
You don't have to, but sure.
Fuck it. Okay. I'm gonna
go. If $550 a week?
Yeah. That's not enough to fucking cover rent.
No, like it's
we haven't even put in the taxes that's gonna go into that.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because you're freelance.
You almost make more money on unemployment.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Like, my paychecks would be like under $500 for a week.
Jeez. Yeah. It'd be it's ridiculous.
And so like the one time that I did like decide to like stand up for myself, JJ was in the room when I made the phone call.
It was.
I was working on this other documentary at the time, and like I gave them note, like I'd started off doing this feature, and I was like, look, I can't be on board for the whole entire time. I can only do like the first, you know, 5 or 10 days.
Yeah.
And then I gotta move over. They're like, okay, well, we're gonna bring on this other assistant editor. She'll train with you for the night shift, you know, for the days that you're there, and then, you know, she'll pick up when you leave. So I was like, okay. So I trained with her for the first 5-10 days, and like, she hadn't, like, the last thing she worked on, I don't want to say the show that she worked on because that might give it away.
Yeah.
Say Land Before Time.
Sure.
Land of the Dinosaurs, is that what it's called?
Sure.
Baby
dinosaur movie.
Yeah, dinosaur movie. Let's say she worked on dinosaur movie.
Yeah.
Which is just to say that, like, they were working on film still. Like, there was, mm-hmm. like, working on moviolas, like, stuff like that.
Stand-up machines.
Yeah, like, cutting film. And so, literally, this is kind of like an introduction to digital, non-linear editing software for her. And I'm just giving her the rundown, which is kind of typical for AE tasks, but, like, if you're not used to the whole digital workflow, it could get really daunting. So I'm having her take really good notes for the first week. For the second week, I'm starting to, like, make her do some of the processes herself to try and, like, get her to build some muscle memory. And then, like, the first night that I, like, stopped working, like, you know, I was asleep, and I woke up to, like, three voicemails, a whole bunch of texts from her. And it's just stuff like, hey, Nadav, so, like, for some reason, this isn't popping up. I can't hear audio here. I can't figure out what's going on here. And then, like, another voicemail, like, 10 minutes later, like, oh, never mind, I got it. And then, like, more different other problems coming up. And the next day, I got a call from the, I don't think she was the UPM, but she was the one who did the hiring. She hit me up, and she's like, Nadav, so that assistant editor quit. can you please come back? And, exactly. So I made the phone call with JJ in the room. I was like, super shaky voiced. I was like,
well, I told him to ask for more money.
Yeah,
of course.
Because I was literally working on two other projects. And so this would be three projects at once. And I was like, there's no way I'm doing
that. For one rate.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Like, I was working somewhere, and then I was working somewhere else, like, in the off time of that. And
then
would have been the third project that I was doing concurrently. So I was like, okay, I don't know. Let's call her Lindsay. I was like, oh, hey, Lindsay, how are you? Oh, yeah, Rebecca quit. That's crazy. like, that, what a shame. You know, I really thought she had it. oh, you want me back? Oh, okay. Well, you know, I don't think I can do it for the 110 that I usually do. I'm going to have to ask for 250 a day. And she was like, okay, never mind. I was like, okay, yeah. All right, for sure. Hadn't worked on a single, like, project of that yet since. Mm-hmm. And honestly, good riddance.
Yeah, screw that.
Hope you all burn.
And I'm glad you did it. You stood up for yourself. You respected yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Respected your craft.
And I was making good enough money at the other two places. It was nice to be like, I didn't get that, and I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very nice.
I usually don't talk about horror stories because I always just figure, like, they're going to get what they deserve in the end anyway. But that email that we had was it lit a fire in me that I haven't experienced before.
Fire in the
like
belly.
I have a few horror stories, but I always just like, you know what? They made it easy to know, like, for me, like, just don't work with them. Just don't work for them. Like, it's whatever. But this one was just crazy.
Well, see, that's one of the reasons why we do this segment is because a lot of the people that listen to this may not have had those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can hear our experiences and say, maybe I shouldn't deal with that job that's paying me $50 a day.
It's being able to detect those red flags.
Smell out bullshit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your bullshit detector.
So that's... And I'm glad we started doing this segment because they're always fun to talk
about. Yeah, honestly, it's fun stories that are also educational.
Yeah.
Learn through other people's mistakes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we really have time for a game today, do we?
Yeah, you're right. Fuck, we're almost coming up on an hour.
Yeah. The horror story segment was bigger than normal.
And
I think it was educational.
I think it was a good one.
And I want to say thank you very much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's been great. If there are...
is there any advice you can give to people that are wanting to be assistant editors?
Or if someone's
editors?
Like, I want to be an assistant editor / editor, just like my boy Steve over here. What advice would you give them for them to be like you?
You definitely don't want to be like me.
Yeah, phase one.
Work out three times a week.
phase one, don't just walk in expecting you know what the hell you're doing. You better in your own time train in any way you possibly can. Take the odd jobs. That way when you do get in a position, you know, worth being in, that you know how to do the things you should be doing in the first place.
Yeah, like take the grunt jobs.
Exactly.
Like if you don't have any experience, then the grunt jobs should be what, like you shouldn't be saying no really in the first like couple months to a year of your career.
I mean, I think everyone should do a shit job just to know that.
Just to know what it looks like.
Yeah, like everyone should work at a fast food joint or everyone should, you know, work at a grocery store or something, retail. Everyone should work retail at some point in their life to know this is not what I want to do. Like, you need to have that drive behind you. Like, I'm not going back.
Yeah, it's so, like, all I got left is just fucking cart duty at Vaughn Supermarket. Yeah.
But I guess... I want to do that. I guess the big thing is be someone that other people will like for, you know, if you're working a 12, 15-hour day, that they can be locked in a room with you and they don't want to kill themselves at the end of the day. Just be a decent human being. Like, be easygoing.
Yeah, be chill.
Yeah.
Don't be the opposite of hateable.
Exactly.
You don't need to be likeable. Lovable, just likeable.
Likeable.
Yeah. Lovable is a little too much.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Steve, if people want to get a hold of you and maybe offer you work or just ask you questions, like, what would be a good way to do that?
Well, the best way to do that would be just to reach out to me via the email that I use with a little production company, the one that made the movie. Mm-hmm. It's just steve@frontgalleyproductions.com. Again, that's steve@frontgalleyproductions.com.
Sweet. That's very easy to remember.
Are you on Twitter or
anything? No. And the whole website thing is in the works as well. So that's probably just the best way if you want to stumble across me.
You're just an old soul, aren't you, Steve?
I really am.
Well, you may not be on Twitter, but we are.
Yeah, we are. You could tweet us at Early Call Time. Or you could tweet me personally at Very Nadav Show. Or you could tweet JJ personally.
Yeah, at JJ Geiger 711. And then Anders is the real Zuber.
Yeah, I thought it was like the real Nazi. Was it that? The real German Jew real, hater.
Maybe. I don't know.
Something with alliteration. I can't remember.
Yeah,
right
I can't remember. Yeah. There's something clever, though. He's clever.
Yeah, the clever Nazi. So, yeah, he has the real Zuber, whatever the fuck that. If you have any horror stories or any questions, you could hit us up.
Questions, emails, if you have.
Earlycalltime@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Pretty much, like, any type of social media, just look for Early Call Time and you'll probably find us.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah. Or else we fucked up somewhere. And then let us know. You can
if the podcast doesn't work, just email us.
Just let us know if it's fucked up.
We'll fix it for you.
And then are we reading a letter, or are we going to do that on the next one?
We can read a letter.
Okay, yeah. So stay tuned, guys, because we're going to read a letter right now.
We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
Hey, I'm long-time caller, first-time listener.
Hey, Early Call Timers.
All right, so we just got a fucking letter. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited.
The subject is getting started in the industry.
Oh, that's not at all related to our podcast.
No, not at all.
Psych. Yes, it is. That's exactly what our podcast is about.
Should we say her full name or just her first name?
You know what, let's just go with L. Simpson. No, you know what, fuck that. Let's go with Lisa S.
Well, we can say
what
her name.
What a sick Simpsons ref, right?
Gloria.
Yeah, let's just say Gloria.
Gloria emailed us.
Yeah. Hey, Gloria.
She writes, "The question I have is about education."
Well,
we like to entertain and educate.
Yeah, I'm pretty stupid, so I'll see how good I can do with this.
What classes do I need to take, and what is the categorical heading it's listed under? Now,
I kind of understand that question. Not the second part so much.
Now, depends on different schools.
Right.
You know, a TCOM 101 class is probably different from something that maybe you went to school for.
TCOM is telecommunications.
Yes, that is correct.
I don't even think we had that at UC Irvine.
Yeah.
We had film and media studies.
But it also depends on what you want to do in life.
Right, because your question really is like, what classes do I need to take? And then the second part of that is, to be what?
Correct.
What do you...
So...
Because we can't really tell you what classes unless we know what you want to be. So we'll just assume you want to be anything in the industry, and we'll just go job by job and say, you know, what you kind of need to do in order to get started.
Sure. And you know, maybe our advice is different. Everybody's road is different.
Right.
So
I guess let's start off with writer.
Sure. We've had a few writers on the show.
Phase one, I'd say, is listen to some of our podcasts where I believe we interviewed Vivian Lee.
Mm-hmm. She's a staff writer for Stitchers.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, what type of writer do you want to be? Like, because she writes for television, Liz Cole.
She writes some stuff, but she necessarily isn't a writer.
She's a with writers?
Yeah, she works and does script work with writers. Let's see, who else? Nick Santora, who's a perfect example of a writer. Who's
now
actually
a showrunner.
These are all past podcasts that you can listen to.
Yeah.
That we have done.
So let's just think, like, how did they get started? Well, first thing is they write a lot. Like, I believe Nick's, like, word of advice is write every day.
He was a lawyer.
Right.
And then he got into writing. I think Vivian, if I'm not mistaken, has an English degree. I'm not 100% on that.
So maybe major in English.
But there are a lot of, English majors.
Writers.
Tony Estrina, who hasn't been on the podcast yet. But he has a writer's, he majored in English at Kent State.
Yeah, because when you major in English, like, you spend your college studying just having a pool of references and context of what's already been written. Mm-hmm. You have, like, a bigger pool to draw from.
Right.
As opposed to someone who's not going into it, and they find out the first thing they write is, like, oh, Simpsons already had an episode of this, fucking, like, in season 3.
Sure. Well, it gives you a backbone or a skeleton to start from.
Yeah, the more you read, the more you know what's good.
Yeah, and I remember when I was going through school that for, let's say, a TV host or an anchor, if they wanted to do weather, not to get a degree in telecommunications, but get a degree in meteorology.
Right.
Because then you can talk.
Then you have a talent and a skill to contribute
exactly
to what you want to do.
Exactly. So, you know, writing, get a writing degree.
Yeah, get an English writing degree. Classics degree.
Yeah.
If you want to go into post-production, like editing, you know, there's a whole bunch of schools in Los Angeles, like Moviola and I think Digital Cinema? No.
Lynda.com.
Yeah, Lynda.com is a good one.
You don't necessarily have to go to formal education to become an editor.
Right. And there's also...
It's helpful to learn other...
Like, there's all sorts of classes that are offered where, you know, you'll come in for a week, they'll give you a machine with an Avid on it and a teacher, and they'll just run you through a gambit of everything that you would need to do. That's how I learned the basics of Avid.
Yeah.
Which is very helpful. And then they have, you know, a follow-up, how to be an assistant editor, and like... The basics of Avid, how to be an assistant editor in Avid, how to be an advanced assistant editor in Avid.
Wow.
And just, like, all these...
Jeez, I'm glad I never went through those.
There's definitely, like, kind of, like, film school-type places, depending where you live, that offer classes that would, you know, help you anyway in post-production.
Mm-hmm.
Also how to color, all that stuff.
I always think that somebody that's in post should actually shadow somebody in production at least once so they know what's going on set and what's going on in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So when a camera guy comes to an editor and says, so did you like this? Did you like this rack focus? Did you like the lens I used? The editor can actually be educated and know, yeah, you did this because of this, and I didn't like this because of the lighting and whatever. So.
Right.
It's always nice to be well-rounded in that aspect. But let's see, what else?
Okay, so there was like the editing bracket. There's if you want to go into graphics or visual effects.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like...
Graphic design.
Yeah, I feel like YouTube tutorials, there's an abundance of those online.
Right.
Like, if you taught yourself one of those tutorials a day, you would be in good shape fast.
Right. But if you're going as far as, like, a college setting... any art class that you can take, any kind of design class that you can take.
Even a drawing class would help.
Photography would probably be good, too.
Oh, that'd be very helpful.
Yeah.
I failed my photography class just barely, but, like, it's still, I learned something. I learned that putting it on auto is cheating.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But really, like, everything helps. Like, we just had Jake Bartlett that was on that
good
told
podcast.
Us how he started. Yeah, it was very helpful. I learned, like it made me feel like, oh, shit, like, it's not too late for me to be, you know, in VFX if I wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, yeah, tutorials, mm-hmm. tutorials will help you in that field.
But as far
also
as...
listen to the Tyler Rabbit podcast that we did.
Yeah,
Tyler Rabbit
and
Jake Bartlett.
Long time ago.
Those are two VFX guys that we had. Have we had any other guys? I think those are the two main ones, right?
Yeah, those are pretty much the two main VFX guys.
If you want to get into sound, we've had some sound people. We've had
Alex Furman.
Furman. That was the one I wasn't here for.
You weren't here, no.
We also had Alex Sanchez, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Alex Sanchez, from and also Works, yeah. also Foley. We have Greg Barbinol.
Yeah.
So there's those podcasts you could listen to. Dude, we have a wide gambit of
Holy sheep shit.
When you do this stuff for a year and you have all sorts of different people in.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to be crafty, we don't have that yet. We don't have a podcast to listen to, but it's in the works, guys.
Yep.
It is in the works.
Directing, we have John Badham. He was a good one.
Yeah, that's kind of a big one to listen to.
Kind of a big deal.
Now, I'm sure the way he got in will be a little bit different than how you get in, but probably not that different.
But I think if you want to direct, I think it has a lot to do with just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Use the Nick Santora method and just do something every day, even if it's, you know, it may not be directing necessarily, but it could be reading a short story that you really like and like trying to figure out how you would direct someone into teaching it and or into acting in it. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you can do.
You know, I actually just heard this this Ira Glass quote from This American Life that I heard recently that I really liked. Anyone that's like in a creative like industry, they get into it because, now I'm paraphrasing here, these are not my words, these are Ira Glass's words. They go into it and they have this amazing taste, like this amazing palette of what they define as good. And when they first start out, they realize that what they're making doesn't quite fit their taste. And so, like, there's a gap over there. And so what you need to do is you need to keep making stuff, churning stuff out all the time. I think when he said it, it applied to writers, but it really applies to anything creative. Is that if you keep on churning stuff out on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, that gap between what you make and your taste is going to become smaller and smaller. So you'll eventually start making stuff that you actually think is good. Because, JJ, I'm sure you're in the same boat as me. But I will look at stuff that I made in high school or college.
Oh, God, and, look at that shit.
And my stomach lining will get thinner.
Sure.
It's so hard to watch. You're like, what the fuck was I thinking? And that Jufro, why was I doing that to my hair? So it's like the older you get and the more stuff that you make, the more you're able to refine why you like things you like and why you don't like things that you don't like.
Sure.
I think that really, really helps you develop your skill set as an artist.
Yeah. I think that ended this letter session very, very nicely.
Yeah, you know, so Gloria, I Gloria,
had to pull that paper for remembering that.
I knew it was a G something. So Gloria, I hope we answered your question. I hope that that, you know, you found an answer somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, just listen to our backlog of podcasts. I'm sure that we interviewed someone that does something that you want to do. And every guest we've had on, we've asked how they got there and what advice they'd give to people like you.
And if there is a career that you can't find on our podcast, our archive, and want to know of, or want to know the how to become XYZ, let us know, and we'll try to get somebody.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like we did that with like someone emailed us that they want some VFX people in.
Yeah,
we actually started putting in an effort to getting VFX people in. So you know, guys, we listen to you.
We listen to you, and we try to deliver.
We just want you to like us. You know, we have this like high school mentality. We want to be popular.
Some people call it codependence, and that's okay. I don't mind.
I'm dependent on your approval.
Yes.
So, with that, I hope we answered your question.
And listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.